Good evening. We've been pulling lessons out of the book of 1 Peter for our devotionals during this Wednesday Devo hour. And I'm going to continue in that, beginning in 1 Peter chapter 3, specifically verses 1 through 7. And don't know why Mike gave me this topic. It could be that I lack a filter and I'm very blunt, and therefore there won't be any beating around the bush, so we'll understand what's happening in 1 Peter chapter 3, which happens to deal with marriage. All right? So, giggles aside, serious faces on, there are attitudes that we are to have in our marriage, and that is the focus that is that I've been asked to bring out, is the attitudes. Okay, so to begin, we're just going to read the subject matter. Beginning in verse 1, this is the New King James Version, it reads, "Wives, likewise be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they, without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wives when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be hidden, be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good and are not afraid with any terror." Verse 7, "Husbands, likewise dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as the weaker vessel and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may be not hindered." So, before we can even understand why he's talking about this, we see a word that has to take us back to something else. And that word is likewise. In the original language, it's homoios, which means the same, okay, in like manner, okay, in the same way. So we have to go backwards now to figure out what they're talking about. If he's going to say wives likewise, well, what, like what? What are we supposed to do? Not me specifically, I'm not a wife, but what are wives supposed to do? Okay, well, if you go back into chapter 2 and you begin in verse 18, it talks about servants being submissive to their masters. Okay, so verse 18, "Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh." So here that word fear can be kind of confusing too, because why would you fear a good and gentle master over a harsh master? Right? Is that good and gentle one known to beat you to a pulp when you mess up? No, he's good and gentle. So why are you fearing that one and then have to throw in the not just them, but also fear the harsh ones too? That's kind of backwards in our minds. A lot of times we think, if I'm going to fear someone, it's going to be the harsh guy. I'm going to be afraid of that one because he's going to beat me. Or he's going to, you know, punish me. Or he's going to do this. Or he's a really mean person. Not, I fear you because you're good. That's a little backwards. But this type of fear would be more of the fear to mess it up for the master. To be a disappointment to the master because you genuinely care about your master. Okay? You genuinely care about that master as a servant. Well, okay, so likewise, wives, be submissive like servants are to their masters, right? With fear, okay? Well, not like terrified of being beat or terrified of you know, anger issues or whatever it is, but just because you're afraid to disappoint. But then it continues on, and it says, be fearful also, or be ready to suffer, I'm sorry, wrongfully. Be ready to suffer wrongfully. So, and then it talks about how there's no real credit given when you suffer because you messed up. The credit's given when you suffer and you did it right. You did a good thing and you're suffering for it. And then it relates it to Christ. Oh, okay, so now we get it. Now we're looking at the whole context and we see wives likewise be submissive like these servants, like Christ is submissive to God because he continued to do what God said to do even though he was getting beat by the world. He's getting persecuted by the world. He was still submissive to God. He didn't have to be. Could have called legions of angels, right? That's a biblical passage. But he still stayed submissive to God. He still did what God said to do. Okay? Wives, have that attitude towards your husbands. Okay? That attitude is a public attitude. Christ obeyed God, not fearing God's punishment, but it was because the punishment of the people was coming anyways. Okay? The people were going to punish Jesus for doing what God said to do. So wives, when your husband says, we need to do this, and it may not look like the rest of the world's going to accept it, you got to do it anyways. Okay? And do it anyways because your husband's watching, and this gives a reason. It gives a reason. It says, in case he's not a member of the church, he'll see what submission looks like. He'll see what servanthood looks like. He'll see that you love him and care about him, and maybe he'll change his ways. Okay? So there's an attitude there. That's the attitude for wives, all right? We can get into the apparel and the being good on the inside, not just the outside. And by the way, that word merely in the New King James Version is not in the original text. Okay? It just says, don't adorn yourselves with gold and do your hair all up, but instead, be good on the inside, be beautiful on the inside. But I'm okay with that word merely, and I'll tell you why. Because it relates it to Sarah. And what do we know about Sarah? Well, in Genesis chapter 12, verse 11, Abraham knew his wife was beautiful. And he knew that other nations was going to know that his wife was beautiful. She adorned herself in a way that she's beautiful, okay? She didn't cover herself in mud and, you know, wear something over her head or something so humongous that she looks like a kite, okay? You could tell she was beautiful. So it's not wrong to be beautiful. And it's not wrong to, you know, to allow others to see that you're beautiful, but be beautiful on the inside. That's more important. Be beautiful on the inside, okay? So now, verse 7. Husbands, likewise. Oh, there's that word again. Likewise. Let's go back. Okay, what did we just talk about? Wives. Well, how do we relate them to servants who is also Christ? So we need to be like a servant too. Likewise. That's the attitude. Why? Because we care for our wives. Like the wife cares for her husband, like Jesus cares for the world. Okay? We got to be ready to suffer for our wives. Okay? It's an attitude thing. So I guess you could say there's a lot of suffering in marriage. That is a joke. We can giggle at that one. Okay? We can giggle at that one. But there are going to be times where you do suffer for your marriage. And you got to be ready with the right attitude, not to complain about it, not to be upset about it, but to live a godly example so that someone else may see God through you. Okay? Specifically, wives to unbelieving husbands. But husbands, it also says to dwell with them with understanding that they are a weaker. They are a weaker vessel. God made them differently than he made man. Lindsay is way different than me. She does not like conflict. I thrive on it, right? I'm not afraid of it. I don't really thrive on it. I hate it. But at the same time, I'm willing to do it. Okay? That's just my strength. Lindsay has other strengths. She's not. But God did make us differently. She is a weaker vessel. She's a more emotional vessel. Women are more emotional, and that is good. We need that. Those poor children, can you imagine what they look like if it's just me running the house the whole time? Okay? We need that nurturing in our families. And it says to dwell with them. Make your home with them. Okay? Don't let them make the home while you're out with the fellas. Okay? Dwell with them, okay? Hold your wife in such a way that you want to be around her. you don't want to be with the fellas more than you want to be with your wife. But wives, help that a little bit. Don't do things that make us want to chase after our fellow friends instead of hanging out with you, right? That's an attitude, too, of servanthood, right? But that's it in a nutshell as far as attitude goes in the marriage, based off of 1 Peter chapter 2 and chapter 3, even though I was only supposed to cover chapter 3, but you can see that there's servanthood. And you got to be ready to be that servant and submissive like Christ was submissive to God, even in the face of punishment. Okay? Wrongful punishment. The church is related to Christ in a marriage ceremony too. We are the bride of Christ. We are to be submissive to Christ. We just studied how wives are supposed to be submissive to their husbands. Well, if we're all collectively the wife or bride of Christ, we're to be submissive to Christ. That's the only way we can do it. But we have to be part of the church in order to be submissive as a wife to Christ. The only way you can get in Christ is to be baptized into Christ. First, you have to know that Christ came down from heaven, perfection, sacrificed himself, lived the perfect life so he could be the perfect sacrifice for our sins because we couldn't do it. When you have that belief, when you have that faith, it'll create a burning sensation inside of you to do something about it. And that's when you change your life. You repent. You start confessing Christ as Lord. You know that he is the Son of God and you're willing to admit it to everybody. You change your life. You're not going to live a sinful life. Will you sin? Yes, you'll sin. But you're not going to strive to live a sinful life. You're not chasing the fellas at the bar. Okay? You're not going and doing the bad things. You're not gambling your life savings away. You're not doing these things that maybe you would have done before you knew Christ or before you heard of Christ. And then that conviction inside of you will not only create a repentance that you want, but there's something else. There's something else to make sure that you're there. And the same feeling happened inside the Jews on the day of Pentecost when Peter was speaking about how they just crucified the Lord and Savior. They felt the guilt. They felt that they needed to change. And they said, what do we have to do? And he said, repent from that. Don't do it anymore, that hatred that you had. Humble yourselves. That's what they really needed was humility because they were so proud they just crucified Christ because they couldn't accept him, right? So repent and then be baptized, conjunction. We talked about it in the Sunday morning class last Sunday. It's a conjunction. You can't have one without the other. Zebra's not black. It's not white. It's black and white. Unless it's got a birth defect, right? We talked about that too. The albino, yeah. So repent and be baptized. That gets you into Christ. You're saved at that point. But you can lose your salvation. Just like a dog turns to its vomit. And that's what the rest of the Bible's about. The rest of the Bible is to encourage you to stay faithful and not go back. There's a lot of temptations out there. There's a lot of fun things that the fellas are doing, right? Some of them are harmless. Some of them are innocent. Some of them you don't need to be a part of. But those strings are going to tug on you every once in a while, and you have to remain faithful. If there's anyone here tonight that perhaps is not part of the body of Christ, has not become a bride of Christ, so to speak, there's only one way to do that, and that's through baptism. If there's someone that is part of the bride of Christ, whose fellas have been pulling their strings and they've caved a couple times and they need to confess that because someone in here has seen them at the wrong place at the wrong time doing the wrong things. That's a public sin. You have to make that right publicly. Some of us may just be struggling privately. We can handle that within our own confines. We can repent of that privately. We can take care of that with God. It's not really private. God knows everything, right? It's just private in the community sense. Or if you need the prayers to help you get through that, we encourage anyone who is in need to come forward as we stand and sing the invitation song.